Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part four of a six-part Advent series entitled Songs of the Season, and today's message is specifically entitled Rejoice, Rejoice, based off of Isaiah chapter 35. So, let us dive into the Word today. Even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived. And a great road will go through that once deserted land. It will be named the Highway of Holiness. Evil-minded people will never travel on it. It will be only for those who walk in God's ways. Fools will never walk there. Lions will not lurk along its course, nor any other ferocious beasts. There will be no other dangers. Only the redeemed will walk on it. Those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return. They will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. Amen. On the verge of the collapse of Israel, the prophet Isaiah cries out with words of joy. One day, we will all be free. Jesus comes to free the captive, provide healing for the broken. Sorrow and sighing will fall away, and we will sit in the presence of our Lord. Now, I want to ask a question, and I'm presuming most of you will answer yes, but how many of you have seen It's a Wonderful Life? In it, we follow George Bailey, a wonderful, giving, generous, thoughtful, compassionate man. One who put others before himself, giving out loans to people who would never have passed the loan application process just to help them out. And he did this to carry on his father's legacy. He felt obligated to it. His father had done tremendous good, and every opportunity he had to pass up being a part of his father's business, especially after his father died, he just felt more and more pulled to it to carry on his father's legacy because no one else in the family could rise up to the occasion. However, deep down, he wasn't satisfied. He wanted to be adventurous and to get out of the small town he was from, the small town of Bedford Falls. In life, we learn that just because we are generous and do what is right does not mean that similar generosity and goodness will be shown to us. And George Bailey learned this the hard way. When a scrupulous businessman named Potts wanted to run George Bailey out of business. Eventually, Potts almost succeeded, nearly bankrupting George. And in that moment, George grew angry and bitter and was about to kill himself. wishing he had never existed at all. How many of you have been there? How many of you have, at some point in your life, just wished you never existed at all? Well, anyway, it is in that moment that something completely unexpected happened. George was lying in wait his whole life for the coming of greatness. He wanted to do something big, something profound, something he'd be remembered for, something that would be great. And he waited his whole life for the coming of greatness. And in this moment, this particular moment, when he was at his rock bottom, he's about to throw his life away and kill himself. In this moment, an angel walked him through what life without George Bailey would be like. And friends, it was a horrific scene. The angel showed George all of this, all of what life without him there would have been like for everyone else around. And it was in that moment that he came to realize that what he was waiting for, he already had. That indeed, his little town of Bedford Falls needed him. Bedford Falls needed George Bailey. And that he was blessed with all of the greatness any human could hope for. Does anybody remember what happened after that? He ran home through the streets, shouting, "Merry Christmas!" to everyone in his town. And he went from lamenting to rejoicing. And there's that scene where he finally gets home to his family and he picks up his daughter, his youngest daughter, and he stands with the rest of his family around the tree and they sing the Charles Wesley hymn, the Charles Wesley Great Carol, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." In the midst of winter, it is powerful to consider how God is bringing new life. There are some plants like amaryllis and Christmas cactuses that are now in bloom. Scripture points to new life in all of creation. So let me ask this. Where is there new life around you? Now, in the church I serve, I see restoration happening all over the place. 140 people came out to our climate change debate and panel discussion. Most of them very happy with the event itself. Some of them weren't happy because they came hoping to experience an echo chamber where they heard their own views coming back at them, you know, and they didn't quite understand what a debate in panel discussion form would be like, and they were a little disappointed that they didn't have everybody there who agreed with them. But all of that, the good feedback and the feedback from people who were disappointed, showed us there is a need for diverse people to engage with one another. We just simply don't offer those opportunities to people nowadays. Nowadays, if you're going to engage, you're going to engage in online forums where you're either in groups where you agree with one another or you're shouting and screaming and calling names and tweeting nasty things to the people you disagree with. We are a church, and the church I'm serving is a church that is becoming recognized as the church that cares for its community. In fact, a woman just called me this week asking if she could join us in our Love Wins campaign, which we started to counteract hatred in our community. We are being seen, our church, the church I serve, is being seen as a church that schools can partner with because they know we respect the boundaries between church and state. We are being seen as a church that helps people, like the young woman who started the Weekend Bag program incorporated. And they know that we help people in doing good for those in need. I could go on and on listing treasures of hope and all of the other ways in which we care for people. However, it is clear that restoration is happening in the church that I serve. And I'm sure it is happening in the churches that you are a part of, if you are a part of a church. And if you're not a part of a church, I hope you become a part of one and be a part of helping your church get out into the community. In Scripture, we see that as humans, we can often fall away from God, and as a result, we fall into problems. But God never fails to bring about restoration for God's people. In the midst of the desolation, after years of captivity, the prophet paints a picture of all of creation being restored by God. Israel will no longer suffer for its past sins. The sighing and the sorrow are over. Joy, my friends, joy has come. Isaiah has a vision of the restoration of all creation. He offers encouragement for the day and a picture of all that is possible through the power of God. And God will transform, offer hope that results in joy. God will transform and offer hope that results in joy. In the most unexpected times and unpredictable ways, God enters our lives and offers hope and restoration. Emmanuel, God with us, God is here. The story is not finished. Each of us has a choice how we will be a part of the change. All of creation, my friends, is rejoicing at the promise of a Savior. All of creation has been enduring the brokenness of this world. All of creation has been longing for the hope that is to come. All of creation is rejoicing at the promise of a Savior. The promise of new life is something to celebrate. Too often, the world does not see the joy-filled side of Christian life. How can we not complain about the circumstances around us, but instead point to the transformative power of Jesus? Let that transformation take place in our hearts and minds. By the end of the movie, George Bailey had such a transformation. He no longer saw the bumps in the road. He no longer saw his failures. He no longer saw his family as merely ordinary. He no longer looked at his neighbors, his friends, and family and enemies in the same way, as people holding him back from greater things. Rather, he found joy in those things. He found joy in being a part of something greater than himself. He found joy in love. While we know the promise that all of creation will be restored at the end of time, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus points to glimpses of perfect goodness today. If Christmas is to be good news for all, how will you, as a part of the church, how will you be a part of God's restorative power? What can you do in these last days before the celebration of Christmas? What might you need to consider to keep the promise of joy alive in the new year? Sisters and brothers, I challenge you to find the joy of God's love within you so that you, along with all of creation, might rejoice. Rejoice. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are just so thankful and grateful for
what it is that you have done for us and for the challenge you're giving us. Thank you for bringing us into your kingdom as ambassadors of your kingdom. Even though we live in this broken, fallen world, we get to share in your kingdom now so that we may be witnesses of it to those around us. Help us to be the best kind of witnesses there are, and to really shine your light and your love out to all around us. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. And with that, friends, I would like to thank you for tuning in. It's been a blessing having you listen to this series thus far. There will be a new message coming out at 5 in the morning Eastern Time on lifegivingwatermsg.org. And wherever you listen to this podcast on, whether it be iTunes podcasts, Google Play Music, Spotify, wherever you listen to this, it'll be out 5 a.m. on Christmas Eve, which is this coming Tuesday. And that will be part 5 of this 6-part series on Songs of the Season, the 6-part Advent series. And so I hope that you will tune in then and listen to it, and then we'll conclude the Sunday after that. So in terms of the series. So anyway, in the meantime, please check out the episode notes, check the links there, check out the Party on John cast. Remember that on New Year's Day 2020, our new episode will release for the Party on John cast, and you can check that out as well. In the meantime, friends, remember, you are richly blessed so that you may be a blessing to others. Amen. Go in peace.